which has been offered as a gift. That's the other thing that protects my head, is that my salvation is a gift. So whenever the devil comes and says, you call yourself a Christian, you couldn't pray your way out of a wet paper bag, you're such a poop head, you don't even deserve for God to pay. And I just started thinking, wait a minute, dude. My salvation had nothing to do with my worthiness. My salvation has to do with, I trusted that Jesus said, this is a gift, son. Do you want it? I paid for it all. Do you want it? And I said, yes. So the issue never was, ever and ever will be, whether I'm worthy. It's a gift. So protect your head with that. Good stuff, huh? Does your head need to be protected? Oh, man. I can pretty well tell you, and I know we've got several people in here that are in ministry in one way or another, that whenever you set your heart to obey God and step out into enemy territory, the lies are going to flow like wine. And they're pretty much all going to be centered on one. Well, for me, they're all centered on me and what I'm not, what I can't do, what I'm, or on other people. Oh, yes, but, that whole thing where the blowfish thing, where the devil puffs my opponent up to where it looks too scary and spiky. And so protect your head. And the sword of the Spirit. The Amplified Bible nails it when it says the sword the Spirit wields. This is one of those things that's offensive and defensive, but it's the Holy Spirit's weapon. Well, then, how's that part of my armor? Well, see, I've been given the Holy Spirit. He lives in me. That's what He's given to me for. I am so glad. I know it's a bad example, but all the Land Rover owners will know what I mean, that my Land Rover is very merciful to me. I had a BMW once that I would be a dead man if that car wasn't smarter than I am. The computer drives my Land Rover in icy and snowy conditions. It can react faster than I can react. In fact, if I set it on the right traction control setting, the computer runs everything. It runs the acceleration, it runs the brakes, it runs the steering, it runs everything so that my stupid human reactions don't throw me into a spin. I like that in a car. I need that. I was thinking about that the other day, that the Holy Spirit has been given to me to implement all of this. Remember, this is a description of the Christian life when we are constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the phrase, die a thousand deaths fearing one? That's me. That's my middle name. Because I've often thought, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? Then what am I going to do? And that's a dumb game to play. Jesus said, hey, just don't go there. Today's got enough trouble. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. But I've often... my fear has been, well, what am I going to do? What if I'm not fast enough? And I'm glad that this says the sword that the Spirit wields. What is that sword that the Holy Spirit implements in my personal combat with the enemy? He says it's the Word of God. This is where it starts getting really fun. In Greek, there are two words. Well, there may be more, but the two primary words in the New Testament for word are the word logos, which for 40 years I've pronounced wrong, and logos, and I don't suppose I'm going to change, and I'm probably going to keep pronouncing it wrong. But logos, two soft O's, and the word rhema, which is R-H-E-M-A, but it's one of those things like... it's a word where the order of the letters is reversed in the pronunciation. So it's almost like the H comes first. Logos and Rhema, or Logos and Rhema. In a nutshell, Logos is the, which is used to describe the Bible, and is also used to describe Jesus himself. We're going to see in 2 weeks, in the beginning was the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us for a while. And that's all speaking about Jesus. So even though it describes Jesus, it describes the Bible, the definition of Logos or Logos is the expression of God. One commentator said, it's what God has said in the past, what he's saying now, and what he's always said. It's the sum total of the expression of God, which is really kind of thrilling when you think of the Bible that way. And it's really thrilling when you think of Jesus that way. It's not an accident that he's called the Word of God, the living Word of God. The word Rhema is a more immediate word. It's still the expression of God, but it's what God is saying now to you. Guess which word is used as the sword of the Spirit? Surprised me. I've heard a lot of sermons preached on the Bible being the sword of the Spirit, the Logos being the sword of the Spirit. But here it's the word Rhema. It means that the sword that the Spirit wields is that word of God that he speaks to you now on any given occasion. And I think this is important to talk about. I've got 5 or 6 little commentaries on this. First of all, the Logos, which is the expression of God, and the Rhema, which is his expression to me right now, they never contradict each other. They can't. They come from the same place. It's the same person. Growing up in a Pentecostal church and then a charismatic church for a while, very abused phrase is this word from God thing, or, you know, God told me to tell you. And I have heard bizarre things said that supposedly came from the Lord that contradicted other things that God's already said in his word. That's a good reason to suspect. Often, remember Jesus said to his disciples, when he gave them the good news, bad news speech, the bad news is, I'm out of here. What are we going to do? And he says, well, the good news is, it's actually going to be better because the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send you another comforter, another helper, and he's going to actually be in you. When he talks about the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, who lead us into all the truth, one of the things that he said was, and I think I wrote the reference down, John 14:27. We'll be there next year sometime. He said, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that I've said to you. That is an example of the Holy Spirit wielding the Rhema, which is the Logos. Sometimes the word that God speaks to me right now, like Nancy said this morning, is something from his word, his written word, the Logos, that fits perfectly. Oh, is it? Okay, thank you. Oh, thanks for checking up on me. This morning, and I was reading, I told you the story already, but I want to get it on tape, but Charles Spurgeon talked about having a really bad day, and he was tired, and he was depressed. And as he's headed home, he said just the phrase, my strength is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, excuse me. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, is the rest of the scripture. But the only phrase that came to him was, my grace is sufficient for you. And he said, it stopped him kind of in his depressing nosedive. And he said, when I got home, I knew where it was. So I opened the Bible and I just said, okay, God spoke something to me. Now I'm just going to let this I'm going to ruminate on this. I'm going to ponder this. I'm going to let this say whatever it wants to say. And he said, I read it through a few times, and he said, the thing I felt God was saying to me was the emphasis was on my grace is sufficient for you. It was, Charles, you don't have enough grace on your own. You're outmatched. We just proved it today, didn't we? You're totally worn out, and you went right into a depression. And God says, you need grace from me. You need mine, and mine will be enough. And he said, and I started laughing. And I realized, well, I should think so. Yeah, God, your strength is enough. It's like, what was the expression that he used? It's like a man standing on top of a mountain and calculating out how much oxygen he was using and starting to be afraid that he was going to use up all the oxygen in the atmosphere, and then what would he do? And it's like the sky saying, don't worry, son. My oxygen is sufficient for you. Don't worry, there's plenty. That is the rhema of God. That is the Holy Spirit speaking something to you that comes at just the right time. There is one little sticky wicket. He can't do that if it's not in there. He can't remind me of a scripture if it's not in there. You know what I mean? This is why we spend so much time. Some people say too much time. This is why I feel such urgency about us knowing the Word of God. Then the Holy Spirit has something to draw on. Because the sword of the Spirit, the rhema of God, is not necessarily the words of your pastor. It is what God wants to say to you. And that may or not be accurately coming through your pastor, but we know that it's accurate coming through the Logos of God. We know that's the expression of God. God does speak through people. Let me tell you something that happened to me one day. I was talking to David earlier, and about how one morning on the way to work, as he was having his devotions, he read something, and he couldn't believe it. He said, "How can this be? This is exactly what I need to hear today." And then I was talking to him before his service. He said, "And that happens a lot." And I thought, "Well, why does it happen? It happens because you're asking God to speak to you in that way." I remember I had a day one time in the midst of the worst turmoil of my life, when my heart was broken and my finances were going up in flames and the church was falling apart, my health was suffering, everything you could possibly imagine that could happen bad to somebody, and I didn't know how I could keep my head above water. One morning, sitting there at the farm looking out over the fields, I had a stack of 4 devotional books. They were written by different people. There was a 350-year spread in when they were written by different people. And one morning, I picked them up, and they were all talking about the same scripture. I think the statistical odds of that happening are astronomical against it being a coincidence. And so about the third one that I read, when I opened the fourth one, I thought, you just watch, it's going to be that same scripture. And sure enough, it was. And as I read it, and then I had to go into town to get the mail. And I hopped in my car, and I got about 5 minutes down the road, and the Lord, inspired me to just hit the on button on my radio, which was tuned to the Christian station. In my Toyota Tundra, I hit the on button. And the first words that came out of this preacher's mouth were that very same scripture. And I thought, God, you're showing off here. You're overdoing it. You know, the odd thing about it, the wonderfully odd thing about it was exactly what I needed to hear. But it doesn't stop there. I got to the post office, and I got my mail. And I got a letter that was all marked up and stamped up, and it was from someone on the West Coast who had mailed it 12 days earlier to the wrong address. So it had gone all the way across the United States, got sent all the way back, got resent to the right address, arrived in my mail that same morning, and I read this wonderfully encouraging letter, and at the bottom of that letter was the very same scripture. So it's like I'm in the sword fight of my life, and I can't even lift up my sword to defend myself, and the Holy Spirit steps in, you know, and gives me just the thing that I need. That's what he's given to you for. Here's the thing. This is the thing that's heartbreaking to me. People in our church that I know that are struggling, that stay away. They don't feed themselves with God's word. And the Holy Spirit doesn't have anything to fight with. And they're sitting ducks, and they're falling for lies of the enemy. They're discouraged and without hope. So he can't bring it to my remembrance if it's not in there. This is why it's when things are tough, man, stuff yourself like you've been doing. Just stuff yourself. Feed yourself every minute that you can. John Corson said it's like vitamins. It just builds up your strength. Even if there's nothing in there, like that fabulous story I just told, even if there's nothing that just pops out and hits you in the head, you're still feeding yourself with the right thing. And who knows, but tomorrow, at just the right time, the Holy Spirit's going to wield that sword and protect you, chase your enemy away. So that's the first thing in my four things I have about this sword of the Spirit being the Harema of God. The second one is that I know many church people. Maybe you do too. I even know some pastors. I know some pastors in this county who do not believe that God still speaks to people. Some of them don't believe he speaks to people in any way, which I don't understand. Then you're in the wrong business, buddy. Now, why are you preaching? But some of them I've heard with my own ears have said God only speaks to people through the Logos. He only speaks to people through the Bible. Never mind the fact that the Bible is filled with stories of God speaking to people who didn't have a Bible. Here's the example that God, I was in the shower this morning. I don't need to give you all the details, but I'm searching for an example. Because here's the thing that I've always thought was curious about that train of thought. These same people who don't believe that God speaks to people, the reason they don't believe it is they never feel like he's ever spoken to them, except through the Bible. But those same people, when they pray, they don't pray to the Bible. They don't have the Bible out there and pray to the Bible and then expect the Bible to answer them. When they pray, they talk to a living person. But they don't expect a living person to answer them. That's silly. Well, it's unfortunate and silly. Here's the example the Lord gave me this morning. He said it's like sitting in front of the fire, holding hands with your sweetie, with a big stack of letters and your computer with all the emails in it, and pouring out your heart to your sweetie and kissy face with your sweetie, and then when she gets ready to talk, searching through all of the love letters and seeing what she has to say, or checking all the emails to see what she has to say, and she's sitting right there. It would be dumb, wouldn't it? Yeah, she wrote those letters. Yeah, she sent those emails. But she's right there. And when you're interacting with a person and letting a person speak to your heart, it isn't going to contradict things that they've already said if that's the true expression of their heart. I know that pales a little bit because the Bible is the living word of God. And I don't know if you've ever read something and you had to rub it to see if the ink was wet because you thought somebody wrote this about 5 seconds ago because this is so fresh and it fits so perfectly. The Bible talks about prophecy in 1 Thessalonians, which we studied a few months ago. Prophecy meaning speaking God's counsel or speaking God's words. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, do not despise prophesying. Don't say, oh, God doesn't speak through people. But it says, prove all things and then hold on to that which is good, which means some of the stuff isn't going to be from the Lord. It's just going to be people's thinking or it's going to be polluted. But test it. to see if it's from God. Don't just automatically write it off. And so the question that begs is, how do you test it? How do you test what somebody says is the rhema of God? And the best answer I know is test it with the logos of God, because he isn't going to contradict himself. Measured against Jesus. Does this sound anything like Jesus? Does this contradict what Jesus has already said? Check it out with God's word. If that's all that you can do, prove it. And then hang on to that which is truly is from the Lord. Interestingly, this whole thing about the logos of God being the rhema, one of the best examples I can look at, and if you stop to think about the cosmic physics implications of it, is that when Jesus was tested of the devil for 40 days in the wilderness, what did he use? He used the logos of God. Here's the logos of God using the logos of God as the rhema of God. Here's the one who embodies the complete expression of God using scripture itself at just the right to, at the right moment in the right way to parry the accusations of the devil, which interestingly were scripture also. I mean, the devil knows scripture. A lot of people forget that. I don't know if you ever had the Lord say this to you, but I remember one time in a time of brokenness and desperation, I did one of those flip your Bible open, close your eyes, flip your Bible open, and stick your finger on the page and say, okay, whatever this is going to be from God. It's really dumb to do that. That's like reading your horoscope and thinking it's from God. And the scripture that I landed on was something about, you know, don't believe this message of good news because it's not from God. And it just threw me into a nosedive. And as I'm on my way down to crash and burn, the Lord said, Bob, keep reading.